Our scripture today is from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 through 28. So Paul, standing in the middle of the Areopagus, said to the men of Athens, "I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries for their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we indeed are his offspring."
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, choir. Thank you, Neil, for getting them to sing loudly. It was nice, very nice. And all the parts came together very nicely, so thank you. I am a Jew. Hath not a Jew eyes? Hath not a Jew hands, organs, senses, affections, and passions? Are we not fed with the same food, hurt with the same weapons, subject to the same diseases, healed by the same means, warmed and cooled by the same winter and summer as a Christian is? Prick us, do we not bleed? And so, the words of Shakespeare. I'm not a Shakespearean scholar. I hated reading Shakespeare in high school, as some of you did too, because his English is so different from ours. Nevertheless, there are quotations from Shakespeare's many, many plays. This one from The Merchant of Venice, which are just sheer genius. And so, I bow to his wisdom. In this speech, the Jewish merchant Shylock makes the classic statement about the unity of humankind. Every human being has the same organs, has the same senses, has the same passions. Every human needs to eat, is subject to the same diseases, and yes, bleeds like everyone else, and the color is always red, unlike Vulcan blood, which is green for you Star Trek fans. The same point is made by the Apostle Paul in the reading this morning from Acts 17. This is also a speech as famous as Shylock's. It's his famous speech to the Athenians when he was in Athens, Greece, during his missionary journeys. And he makes the same exact point of universal brotherhood and sisterhood. In verse 26 of chapter 17, Acts, it says, "From one man," or as some manuscripts read, "from one blood." From one man or from one blood, God has made everyone to dwell on the earth. Our ancestry goes back to Africa, folks. We are all out of Africa. We are all Africans. Because long ago, early hominids came to be in the continent of Africa, especially in the Great Rift Valley, which encompasses Ethiopia and Kenya. Each discovery of archaeologists and paleoanthropologists brings us further back in time to when these hominids began to appear, but they appeared 6 to 7 million years ago. We've even assigned names to some of those finds that we have discovered. For example, in 1974, we learned about Lucy, who had been found. And more recently, Artie and the Millennium Man. These are names that we give to earlier and earlier hominids that had been found long ago. Somewhere way back there and then, we all arose on the African continent and subsequently spread north into Europe, east into Asia, and then across the land bridge to Alaska and on into North and then South America, the last continent to be inhabited. We are all Africans, and we all share the same collection of genes, with small variations, or versions that determine some of the physical differences that we have, like color. But we are still a single species. We can mate across all of our differences, and that's the definition biologically of a species. We can all mate across all of those different kinds of us, our many differences, because we are genetically compatible. Therefore, the notion of race has no biological foundation. The notion of race has no biological foundation. So, where did it come from? In the United States, I can't speak to the world, but in the United States, we can trace the notion of race back to a physician, sorry to say, from my home state of Pennsylvania, Samuel Morton, considered the father of scientific racism, if you can believe that. He believed, after studying cranial sizes, size of the head, that God had created five different races in descending order of intelligence based on size of cranium, beginning with, at the top, you guessed it, whites, and then East Asians, and then Southeast Asians, and then Native Americans, and at the bottom of the tier, black. Wow. If you want a chilly, and I've never been there, but if I go back, I do want to see it. If you want a chilly experience, you can see those five skulls on display in the Penn Museum in Philadelphia to this day. When Morton died in 1851, the Charleston Medical Journal in South Carolina praised him, and these are the words from the manual, not from me, praised him, quote, for giving to the Negro his true position as an inferior race. Yes, it's unbelievable. So I think in that statement there is a clue to why the notion of race was devised in the first place. It was used and continues to be used as justification for white supremacy over and against all others who are deemed inferior. So by tracing such nonsense to some kind of immutable biological barrier created by God, one could defend prejudice as ordained by nature itself. We now know, of course, that's wrong. The notion of race is an invention, it's a fabrication, but one that lingers long and deep in our culture, thanks to Dr. Morton, unfortunately. How many times have we filled out applications or filled out forms of any kind that ask us to identify whether we were Caucasoid or black or Hispanic? Fortunately, some of that is going away now, but I remember a time when almost every form that I filled out, you had to designate what race you were from. We had been programmed to think that there is an essential, immutable, biological difference between people who have different skin colors or other unique features. That's why Paul's sermon to the Athenians needs to be heard again and again today of one man, or the other translation is possible, of one blood, God has made all the peoples and nations of the earth. One. Paul's argument here is from nature, because nature is designed by God. It is not an argument from culture, which is invented by us. We invent culture. God invents nature. And Paul's argument here is based on nature. That's why he can say in other places that the new humanity is made up of neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, as if any of these divisions have any biological or DNA basis. We are one. If we are to challenge racism in our time, I am convinced that we must do more than simply argue that God loves all races. Now, I grew up with the song, and you have too, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, Jesus loves whatever. Nice, and the idea is nice, but wouldn't it be nicer if we didn't make even those initial distinctions? So I think the real challenge in our time is not just to talk about how God loves all races, because I don't believe there are races. I believe there's one, that's the human race. I think we rather need to undo the very notion of race, because God looks at people. God doesn't look and see race. God sees human beings, his offspring, as it says in Acts 17. Wow. And God loves all without discrimination. Now, what we're talking about here actually even goes beyond race, because it goes to every human man-made distinction that we have made beyond simply race to isolate ourselves from others and to promote our kind above others. So we make distinctions in terms of sexual identity, either this, which is us and is right, or that, which is wrong. Our nation versus other nations, citizens versus refugees, rich versus poor, Christian versus other religions, believers versus atheists, Protestants versus Catholics, all of these are cultural distinctions that we have made up. All of them are. These are not distinctions of nature, which is the way God looks at us. DNA reveals nothing about any of these distinctions. You look at a person's DNA and you can't tell these kinds of distinctions. You can't tell an American from someone else. You can't tell any of these distinctions because they are man-made. And many times they are made simply to invite discrimination and violence. And yet these distinctions are hard to unlearn. They are inborn to those of us who, like me, identify as straight, American, fairly wealthy compared to the rest of the country, Christian, and white. They are hard for me and others like me to unlearn. We think these distinctions are just the way things are, some kind of natural inevitability, when in fact we have invented them. But if we have invented them, we can also uninvent them. It is in our power to do that. In 1986, there was a pop song that tried to make good on this observation. Some of you know it. God's viewpoint transcends our own, and God looks at us naturally instead of culturally. God sees a common humanity. The song was From a Distance. You probably don't know who first sang it. It was composed by Julie Gold, but it was first sung by Nancy Griffith. It never became real popular until it was sung by Bette Midler. Who won an award for singing it. And I close with words from that song because I think they demonstrate this notion that God sees us from the distance of nature. Not that he's far away from us, not that God doesn't care about us, but that God sees us as one would see from afar off, where there aren't any distinctions. From a distance, we all have enough. And no one is in need. There are no guns, no bombs, no diseases, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, playing songs of hope, playing songs of peace. They're the songs of every man. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. And so may it be that we learn to view others the same way that God views others, instruments of a common band, playing songs of home, playing songs of peace, playing songs of every man. Brick us, do we not all bleed? Yes, and the color is always red. Amen and amen.